How's it going out there in victorious Clipper Nation? I assume if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know.
You know what happened last night.
The Clippers completed a historic 31-point comeback against the Golden State Warriors. Really shoved it to them at Oracle Arena.
In the Oracle.
So we're going to be covering that.
I was like, that's what we're talking about today.
In case you don't know, I'm William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Lockhart.
And we are Locked on Clippers, coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content. And today is Tuesday, which means we will be doing Twitter Tuesday. That's live at Locked on Clips every single Tuesday. We're going to be taking questions live during the stream. Leaving it open for you guys to give your input. We'll be chopping it up. If you're ever unable to tune into a stream, be sure to check us out at Locked on Clips. Send us your questions anytime during the week, or
at Charles Wachler, or at William Updike.
At Will Updike.
It's Will Updike, excuse me. William Updike's a very fancy gentleman.
William Updike was taken. Anyways, let's kick things off with a little recap of this great victory.
Okay, so yesterday, the greatest comeback in the history of the NBA playoffs happened.
Yes.
I mean, there's no... The Clippers won 135-131.
Yeah, that's not even our subjective opinions. That's a fact.
That's a fact. I'm still... Before we talk about stats and stuff, we're going to talk about a lot of stats and stuff this game. And I know it's annoying and kind of corny, but the heart showed by the team last night had to surprise even the most faithful Clipper people.
Oh, yeah.
It was incredible to see this happen.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched it, for some reason you couldn't hear it, go watch Ralph's bingo call on Shamit's 3.
Yeah. Justin Russo, Fly By Night, retweeted it. Go through his feed, check it out. It's a really pretty special moment.
It needs to be in the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
It needs to be sent to the Smithsonian.
Just on a constant loop.
Dude.
I probably played it 45 times.
They sent Vin Scully stuff to the Smithsonian. It's fantastic. Also, to get this out of the way, all good vibes towards Boogie Cousins.
Oh, yeah. We should touch on that. What seems to be a season-ending injury.
Torn left quad, non-contact.
Really unfortunate. I hope that he's able to come back. I really hope that this actually makes the Warriors hold on to him.
Oh, yeah.
Just because they'll be able to get him on a team-friendly deal, offer him a couple years, and kind of see if things can develop there.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Anyway, I hope he heals quickly.
Yeah, positive vibes to Boogie.
Let's get into these stats. Oh, my God. So the Clippers, Lou William led all scorers with 36 points and 11 dimes.
Yeah. 29 of those being in the second half.
Ain't no thing. Trez had 25 and 10 on 9 of 9 shooting, including a couple jumpers.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic. Gallo had a career high in the playoffs with him with 24, 4, and 6. And Jermichael Green had maybe my favorite performance of his all year with 13 and 7 off the bench, only missing one shot.
Incredible. Yeah, Jermichael Green has been so clutch. Somebody commented on the live stream that they work in the Bay, wore their Clippers gear into work.
Hell yeah, dude.
Love the move.
Good for
so
you.
So bold. Right. You're a hero.
For the Warriors, Curry, you know, tried his best with 29 points.
Paltry 29.
KD had 21, 5, and 5 before fouling out. And Kevon Looney hit all 6 of his shots for 19 off the bench. I can't believe we won.
Yeah.
Warriors lost. Oh, sorry. Excuse me. Worrisome.
Yeah. Go so there's a few worrisome stats on this guy, which I got to dig into. I don't want to be a bummer, but we did lose free throw attempts 31-45, which cannot happen.
That was also, I feel like, an anomaly.
A little bit of an anomaly. Incredible. They definitely get more superstar calls. It was pretty crazy that everyone in Oracle was yelling at the refs.
They were booing. They were going, "Refs, you suck." And it's like, you're absolutely destroying us in these calls.
Yeah. And then on those free throw attempts, we only shot about 81%. Who cares, though? Because we came up in the clutch. But still, they shot 88%. You know, if we want to continue the longevity of this series, we got to flip the switch on those sort of things.
For sure.
They also murdered us on the fast break, 32-18. I don't have the second half stats right in front of me. I think we did a better job locking down on that. But I mean, if you watch the game, like, that transition play in the first half was
pretty bad.
It was troubling.
I mean, we were down 31 at one point.
Yeah, it was really, really troubling. And the starters got outscored by 32, which is really,
that's the threshold.
That's the upper threshold for victory. I think I've said in the game previews before, as long as the starters can hold it to within 25 or 30
we have a chance.
Of their starters, like, we got a puncher's chance in this series. So hopefully we can see the starters kind of carve out even more. Hopefully they got the juice back. They got, you know,
I think they did. It was a great game to win too.
Yeah.
Fantastic going back home. This was
starters also did on one last stat, then we'll be done with that, I promise. The starters did also get beat in every conceivable stat: rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. They did also get beat in turnovers, though, so hey, you know, that's pretty solid. And the only one we firmly won was 3-point percentage. We shot 40. Our starters shot 45% from three to their 37%.
We won what mattered.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
This was a game of pure unadulterated willpower. Like, is what it was, I feel like.
Definitely. Someone is commenting on the live stream, give Pat a max.
Yeah, screw it. Give him a front office job.
He's another candidate for the life contract, lifetime contract.
Rudy Zavala said, what's up, Happy Clippers fans? What's up, Rudy? So the Warriors, we just got to do a brief recap in case people didn't watch the game. Warriors went up by 31 with 7 minutes left in the third.
Yeah.
And what did we do? We kept playing.
Yeah, Doc had a great quote where he was like, you know, in the huddle, I just said, I don't know how, but we're going to win.
We're going to win this game. We scored 50 points in the first half.
Yeah.
And then in the third quarter, we scored 44 points and 41 in the fourth.
Insane. Absolutely insane performance.
34 assists, huge. 45% from three, huge. 56% from the field. I mean, the splits were exactly what we needed them to be.
I would say the ball movement, for me, was one of the things that really flipped the switch. Obviously highlighted
incredible
by that great, when Lou Will was trapped by Stephen Clay, he passed to Shea, who had a beautiful drive and kick to Shamit, which is what secured us the lead.
For the most heartfelt bingo of all time. So some first half shooting stats are pretty interesting. First half shooting, the Warriors trounced us 45-59%.
Yeah.
Second half shooting was a much different story. We shot 66% in the second half.
Yeah.
To their 47.2. Ryan and Ralph were great. They just kept saying, get it to 15.
Yeah.
They were just like, if you just get this to 15, we're right
there. This is winnable.
And we did. We got it to 16 points right before the fourth because of Wilson Chandler hit a buzzer beater layup, which was one of the more important shots of the game.
Yeah, he came up big.
Shea hit him with that wraparound pass. I mean, one of two absolutely clutch passes. We'll get to that later. But it just, I mean, everything came together so beautifully on this game.
Somebody said Jamichael Green came up big, and I feel like that
couldn't
can't be understated. He's been like, If you look at his field goal percentage in the past few games, it's been insane. There's games where he's going like 8 of 9.
Yeah.
He's
not missing.
I don't see any way that we don't keep Jamichael unless we can't afford him.
Yeah, which I don't know if anyone's going to pony up that much money for Jamichael.
We'll
Green.
See.
He went 2 of 3 from beyond the arc, which was great. For me, the play that really seemed to spark the belief in the comeback, not the whole comeback, was Beverly stole the ball from Curry, is trailing, running on the court to the other end, kind of pushes off Steph, gives the ball to a trailing Gallo who throws it down for a pretty big dunk.
A big two-handed jam. We've been talking a little bit about how I think Gallo has had more dunks this season than maybe his whole career.
100%. He has to have.
It's been insane.
But that was a play. That was just unbelievable. The building didn't really know what to do. Shea to Sham for the three with 20 seconds left was like a glimpse of the future.
Yeah, the rookie connection, like, for
Lou deferred to him to make the decision, which I think is such a galvanizing thing for the team.
Yeah.
And then right after, we're going to talk about Trez and Lou a little bit. We got to give Trez a shout out right now. Right after Shamit hits that incredible three, they still had time.
Definitely.
There was absolutely time for them to come back. They got a clean look. Curry missed the three.
I think beyond that, we did a great job because he was on a mismatch with Trez.
Yeah.
Trez did a great job of not fouling.
Yeah, he did.
That was easily a spot where he could have...
You jump into him.
Yeah, he could have hit him with a fake, and Trez was not biting. He did give him a little bit of space to shoot the shot, but he was doing his best to contest it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you put yourself in good positions like that. You know, it wasn't a high percentage shot. I mean, a little bit more so for Steph Curry. But, you know, really defensively, I think that possession can't be understated, and Trez's like ability to not foul him.
He didn't foul him, and then he also grabbed the board, was immediately fouled by Kevon Looney.
Yeah.
And then nails both three throws, 4-point game. The game's effectively over at that point.
Yeah. Someone is commenting, what a grand game to break Lawler's Law.
Yes. Well, I can't believe he broke Lawler's Law. They got to Lawler's Law pretty quick in this one.
I hate to prove Ralph Lawler wrong, but this one felt good.
If there's one thing we hate, it's that. Should we talk about Shea a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
Not the most bloated stat line.
No, so free stat heads out there. He finished with only 4 points, but he did have 5 assists and 4 steals. This is kind of reminiscent of like a Patrick Beverly stat line to me, just without the rebounding.
Yeah, that's a good call. I like that. I liked that his assist numbers were up. I mean, obviously the points being down kind of sucked.
I think that just boiled down to attempts, though. He only took five attempts all game, which is incredibly low, but I'm willing to let that slide for the assist numbers.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't want to see any game in the rest of these playoffs where he has like under four assists.
I agree with that. I didn't know I did, but I'm on board with that. He is the point guard. He should get a little more dimes, which is good. I just can't believe what happened.
No.
After it went up, so I was talking to some guys at work. We were talking about this before. After the game, after we hit that shot and we were up by 4 points and Tress hits those free throws, because there was no buzzer beating play possibility, it didn't feel like the game was over.
No, it was
the game just kind of stopped.
Felt unreal.
And then everyone left.
Yeah.
It was insane. Should we talk about some adjustments? Also, in the next segment, we're going to break down a bunch of defensive stuff. So for all you defensive heads, stay tuned for that. Someone said, what do you guys think Cousins being out means for us? Actually seems kind of worse.
It does, because just because we had game planned so effectively for Cousins, obviously like running the pick and roll at him was kind of our bread and butter in that game one. But, yeah.
Someone's saying we should talk about nachos. We'll talk about loose nachos in a bit. So what – my thing for me, Trez's defense, still a little suspect.
Yes. Yeah.
I will say.
There were a lot of times also, though, where he wasn't getting the help. Like, he would go up.
Yeah.
He would go up to contest a shot, and then whatever Warriors player would clean it off the glass, and there wasn't somebody there to like slide over or be a help defender in the post.
Mm-hmm.
And Gallo was a little bit guilty of this, but I don't know. Hopefully, it can just improve. I think that defensive effort is one of those things that comes and goes with momentum. I think when it's a really uphill battle, it's a lot harder to try and put forth crazy defensive effort,
even though
I know it sounds counterintuitive because that's what wins you games, but I still just think, like, as a human being, it gets a little bit harder. Yeah.
Someone just said our rebounding is suspect. It absolutely is suspect.
Yeah. So we got out-rebounded in this one, 34 to their 38. So this is a closer margin than we have held it to in past matches during the regular season.
Yeah. The meatball lineup was great.
Yeah, so we ran a meatball lineup in the for a good half of the third.
If you're new to the pod, the meatball lineup is anytime Gallo is playing center.
So that lineup, which is really what clawed us back in the game in the third, was Lou Will, Patrick Beverly, Shams, JaMychal Green, and Gallo. And this lineup didn't see any minutes in the first or second. They saw 5 minutes in the third and only around 1 minute in the fourth as Harrell came in to be the closer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess I just want to throw it out there and throw it to you. Like, how effective do you guys think this lineup can be long term?
I think it should be used a little more than it is now, but not heavily.
That's
you
fair.
Know, I think
That's
it's kind of like a nice little like spurts here and there. Like 15 minutes in a whole game, I think would be great for this lineup.
My thing for it is I actually feel like defensively it's pretty decent.
Someone just said meatball lineup greater than Hampton's five. You nailed it. That's
easy.
Exactly true. I'm going to fire that off right now, actually. How many minutes do you think it should get?
So I'd like to see this lineup play a little bit more minutes next game. It played around six this time. I don't see why not float it out there for eight, see what happens.
Eight? I'm okay with that.
Seems like five offensive rebounds on the one horrible defense stand by the Clips. That's why. I'm not sure.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sorry. The text is coming at me too fast. It's too hard for me to read.
But that lineup did get us out. The ball movement's great. And that's five shooters.
Yeah.
That's literally five shooters with
Somebody's
Gallagher
asking,
the size of the center.
We don't think we play into their game playing small. Well, here's the thing on that, is that with the exception of like Kevon Looney and their other, they're more standard size
guys.
Centers. Gallo is like easily the biggest dude on the court out there.
Bogut's a little
thicker. I guess Durant is taller.
Yeah, but Gallo's
strongest
man in the
league. Talking about the strongest man in the NBA right now.
Oh man, we're gonna continue this after this quick break. I want to close this segment with Sindarius with the quote of the year. The quote of the year.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I can curse for this one. Sindarius, as Shamet rose up for the shot, he was asked about it, and his quote was, "Big effing shot. Big effing pass. Big effing play. Game over. came over with that. The fat lady singing. You ain't here? Shit. I thought I heard somebody singing or something. How can you not love this team right now? Coming up after this, we're going to be talking about some more takeaways, some defensive stuff, and yeah.
All right. So, I just want to talk a little bit more about this meatball lineup.
Oh, yeah. Nothing but meatballs.
This, for whatever reason, was one of the more effective.
Someone said Boogie's injury allowed us to go spicy meatball. Absolutely.
So on
love
this
the support for
on
spicy meatball.
Spicy meatball victory. This was really effective even when they were trying to trap Lou Will, which I think for me personally was the biggest thing I was worried about.
Yes.
Facing our bench in the playoffs. Obviously people are going to try to trap Lou Will after the kind of season that he had all year.
Yep. And how effective it's been to trap.
We definitely have had trouble with trapping in the past, but I feel like this is the best combination of shooters you could put around him to
sure.
try and mitigate that.
Yeah. Like I guess you can trap Lou, but you leave. I mean, Shamut can handle the ball, too.
Yeah.
So it's just incredible. Steph and Clay can't really stop him.
No. Steph and Clay have not been effective on Lou Will.
Speaking of Clay, only 17 points in this game.
Mm-hmm.
He has not looked as effective as he can be these last two games at all.
Yeah.
And I think it's because we've given a bunch of crazy looks at him. So Shea, Lou, Sham, and Temple
mm-hmm.
all guarded him between 17 and 22% of their offensive possessions.
Okay.
So he's seeing so many different looks from guys.
Definitely.
Who are all, I mean, if you look at that, they're all long dudes.
Oh, for sure.
Like, their reach is so crazy.
Yeah.
We have to give a shout-out to Shamit's defense on Curry.
Yeah.
Hoops and Brews was talking about that. Shout-out Hoops and Brews. I'm not sure if they're watching or not. Shamit had Curry for 48% of their offensive possessions. Not a trivial number by any means. And he held him to 3 of 8 shooting.
Wow.
We were a little worried pregame when they kind of said that Landry was going to be on Steph.
I was skeptical.
But that dude hustled.
Yeah.
I mean, the help defense, I just can't.
I also think, we're talking about this in the next matchup, but I think that we were a little skeptical of Bev on Durant.
Yeah.
Just because from a numbers perspective, Durant still shot almost 70% in that first game.
Mm-hmm.
However, like we even talked about it on the pod yesterday, the other factors are not to be overlooked.
You could say, one would say they're almost unstattable.
Oh, did you just come up with that?
I just thought of that.
All right.
Oh, we're done.
So he was Bev covered Durant for 49% of his possessions, and he only got 3 attempts.
Yes. And 9 turnovers, as someone just pointed out.
Yeah, he had more turnovers than field goal attempts.
And he fouled out.
Yeah.
Bev is in his head. He's firmly in his head.
He's purchased a starter family home. He still has the condo that he hasn't sold yet.
Oh, that's in LeBron's head.
So, yeah, he's still working on getting that sold, but he's got the starter family home. And, you know, he might be upgrading soon.
Beverly's real estate market is fantastic. He's got a condo in LeBron James's head. He's got
he
a starter
some,
family
he
home.
He has some good people
head.
Handling his mental
Unbelievable.
Money.
Unbelievable. You think Ballmer will pay extra to keep? Yes. Yeah, so we're going to talk about that. Our guys are starting to get poached or maybe poached. Nothing leads me to believe that Ballmer won't pay these guys a bunch of money.
And I guess what it comes down to then is how you think of yourself in an organization and how you would want to be integrated into another one.
Yeah.
Obviously, money isn't the only answer for people. It's not the only answer in your career, but
it's a big factor sometimes.
I don't know if I was Mike, as we refer to each other.
Oh yeah, you and Mike.
I think I would be a little bit skeptical of coming into an organization that's in a bit of a disarray.
The Wolves?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be terrible. One more note on defense. So in the beginning of the game, I mean, obviously, we just talked about Kevon Looney's stats. He hit all of his shots.
Yeah.
Quinn Cook looked like he was going to kill us, too. This seems by design.
Yeah.
We forced ISOs, which stopped their ball movement. So if you stop their ball movement, you got a pretty, I mean, that's kind of your in. Because you're stopping transition, theoretically. We didn't really stop it too much. But, so, I mean, if they're going to start Kevon Looney or Bogut, I have to assume they're going to start Looney. We're going to make those guys beat us.
For sure.
We're going to say, fine, shoot 100% again, Kevon Looney.
And, I do think you have to give credit to the defense on this. In the first half, when they were really Rick-rolling us, they only made seven shots from deep.
Wow.
And we made 6, so we were hanging in there.
Yeah.
I just have to believe that this is by design. They forced them to score a lot in the paint, which we did have trouble defending, but, I mean, you know, you can't guard everything.
You can't guard everybody. And I guess now we can kind of open up to a little more questions. We've noticed some stuff. The narrative of this game is frustrating.
So I'm sure if you guys pay attention to other sports outlets, I don't know why you would. You got Locked On Clippers already. But it seems like the narrative is that the Warriors blew a 31-point lead, not that the Clippers overcame a 31-point deficit.
I don't know how you blow a 31-point lead. Like, that's so hard to do. Like, you can blow a 10-point lead.
Yeah.
You can absolutely blow a 10-point lead. You can blow a 15-point lead. That's five threes.
Yeah.
You don't blow a 31-point lead. You lose the 31-point lead.
Oh, yeah.
It's not... Blowing it makes it seem like it's your fault. It was our fault because we never stopped playing.
Yeah.
I just don't know what we have to do to get respect. John Cooperman was talking about listening to Mason in Ireland, and they glossed over the comeback and just started talking about who's going to be the next Lakers coach.
Yeah, it's either that or talking about Boogie, which, you know, does make sense.
That does suck.
So that's really tough. Somebody said that they were mad anytime Wilson Chandler was in.
I was too a little bit, but he hit that layup.
He's had some spotty play, but he did really come through in a big moment.
He was huge.
I mean, it's just one of those things where you got to take both parts of a vet, like an older vet. Like, you got to understand that sometimes it's going to take them a while to get into the groove or whatever, especially adjusting to a new system.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you get that instinct that comes in at the end of a game to kind of slow things down and be in control.
We also need to touch on Zubats.
Yeah.
8 minutes of play in this one.
It was, once again, pretty apparent. He kind of got played off the floor.
Do you think, with no Boogie, he plays better?
I don't know. I do still think we will keep him starting.
I think we absolutely have to keep him starting. We can't start Trez.
Yeah.
That's not how this works. He just looks a little too lost defensively.
He's really looked out of sorts.
Someone just asked, what do you think the Wolves trying to steal our GM? First of all, they're not stealing. Also, we just touched on it. Well, good for him. I hope he goes well. But yeah, Zubats just doesn't look ready defensively. Offensively, we all know he kind of has his issues and stuff like that. But defensively, this Warriors team seems to be his perfect kryptonite.
Which I was surprised by. I thought against smaller lineups, he would really succeed.
Nick Wright on First and First said the biggest story was Boogie's injury. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Not the 31-point victory. Zubats versus Bogut, Looney, no bueno. I kind of agree. He seems...
Yeah.
I don't want to say he's overwhelmed by the moment because we're not there for the away games. It just seems like he's trying to process things too much. He's trying to think before he does stuff, which is how you mess up.
Yeah.
You think, I need to cover this if this happens, but that's not how any of that works.
Yeah, no, I think it's his first time there. He's 21 years old. I still don't feel he's ever really been like ingratiated into this offense and defense.
No,
as well as
even when he was on the Lakers.
On the Clippers well as some of the other guys that we got post trade deadline.
Yeah,
and I don't chalk that up to him. I think that there's like a variety of factors, especially just getting comfortable with new guys on offense, especially. And then just fitting into a scheme. Because he is definitely like a super traditional center. So, I don't know. It kind of surprises me, I guess, that he's having trouble finding a bit of a groove on defense. But hopefully that can kind of turn around.
Yeah, so it looks like we're going to be seeing a dose of Bogut, Jordan Bell, and Kevon Looney pretty much.
Yeah.
As who's going to be at center.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
None of those guys can really space the floor. Jordan Bell kind of can, I guess, a little bit. But I guess I'm fine. We're going to let Boogie beat us with three-point shots, and I don't think this changes that strategy at all.
No.
With whoever they bring in.
No.
He needs more time to develop, but Zoo has potential. He really does.
Agreed.
This offseason, he needs to work on finishing.
I think that's going to be a big thing, and I've commented on this in other places, but I just don't ever think that he's been with an organization or in a system that where talent development has been like a huge emphasis.
Yes.
So
polite way of just roasting the Lakers.
So I think that that's something that's definitely going to change. I think that he's one of those guys who could be poised for a real breakout after the summer.
Absolutely. I hope it's during the summer. Coming up after this, just taking more questions from Twitter. So this was a question I got from a couple people online, and you posted this in the thread as well. How does this change expectations for this team moving forward?
Yeah.
Do you mean in this series or do you mean in general?
I mean in this series.
Okay, so when I woke up this morning, I looked in the mirror and I had the thought, I mean, I guess we could win two at home. I really was like, what? No, realistically, I think we split at home.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I hope we win game four.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't want them having momentum going in back into Oakland.
Definitely.
What are your expectations for this series now?
It's kind of the same thing. Like, I woke up. I couldn't sleep last night because I was like, you know, we could go up 3-1.
I literally took 4 melatonin last night because I was like, I need to sleep.
I was in my head like, oh, man, we could go up 3-1. I don't know. I really don't know. I think probably realistically we split the series. I would love to see back-to-back wins at home. I think it would be very, very – I think it would obviously be very, very difficult. I don't know. I'm curious to see because I've never had the pleasure to be at Staples Center in a playoff environment.
No.
So it's going to be a first time for me when we're there on Thursday.
Yeah.
But I think I'll have a better answer once I'm able to see what the home environment is like.
For sure. Someone said that a first round victory over the Nuggets would have done for the franchise. Yeah, that would have been great. But what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Clippers can beat the lineup all day. They might be able to.
But just going off of expectations, yeah. I guess the biggest thing that everybody probably wants to talk about is how this looks for a possible incoming free agent.
Looks fantastic. You just play the second half of this game and you say, do you want to come do part of this?
Yeah, I think that combined with, some great Staples Center popcorn. And we're gonna have more free agents than we have roster spots.
Yeah, that's kind of an issue. I really like the Magruder signing for that. We didn't talk about that yet, but that Magruder signing is huge for our cap space. It's huge for veteran presence.
Do you think that means that Temple is gone?
I think so.
It
sucks, but I think so.
I don't know, and I don't want to say anything about this team because obviously everybody is an awesome contributor, and I think still remains to be seen. I mean, I would imagine that Magruder would be at the 3 off the bench. What that means is... You know, they could run Temple as a large 2 next to Lou.
Really big 2.
So that is a possibility. People on Twitter are saying it definitely means he's taking Temple's spot. I don't want to say one way or the other.
But the writing seems quasi on the wall. I don't know. I'm glad Temple can get the run into the playoffs.
But we'll see. I mean, I think fit is not to be overlooked, and we haven't seen the fit with Magruder. We have seen good things out of the fit with Temple.
That's very true. He's had some good games.
He's definitely had his downs, but he played really solid last night. I mean, that performance can't be underrated either.
Matt Chonger is saying, shout out Matt Chonger. He's saying Temple could decide to come back for a bargain. That would be great. If he came back for a cheaper than usual deal, fantastic.
Exciting. I mean, I think he's probably looking at vet min or mid-level exemption.
Yeah.
And you know, he understands the deal, man. Like, he's a true, like, he's a consummate professional. He's been with a bunch of different teams. But yeah, just, I guess, depending on how things go in the playoffs and how he continues to look and maybe even, you know, how he looks the first couple of weeks in the offseason leading up to June, will give them time to make that decision.
Yeah, Oh, question. Is anyone going to the game on Thursday? If you are, get at us. We'll be there. We are going to be at games 3 and 4. We will be at both of those games. If you guys want to get beers after, I don't know, come through. Say what's up.
Somebody's commenting on the live stream. It's sad to not be able to see Motley in the playoffs. I agree.
Yeah, but
I just don't know how much we would really be seeing of him. I would sign Motley over...
McWeirdo? Okay, well, they're both signed, so I think it's fine. Someone's going to the game? Sick. Get at us on Twitter. We'll hang out or something after the game.
Yeah.
Guys, that about wraps it up for us.
On the pod.
On the pod. We're going to be on the live stream for a little bit more, hanging out and talking with you guys. Tomorrow, we're just going to be kind of enjoying the calm before the storm, I think.
Yes.
I think we're going to have on a What Could Have Been Wednesday. It's going to be a good time.
We might just still be talking about this game.
We're probably going to still talk about this game. We're only going to watch the highlights. Thanks for tuning on the live stream. Thanks for listening. Shout out to the Himalaya app if you want a great app to listen to podcasts. Please rate, subscribe, give us a follow. Locked On Clips, Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for listening and tuning in on the live stream.